Hi, friends. Welcome to Season 5 of The Activity Continues, a paranormal podcast. I'm Amy, the producer and host of this show, along with Megan and the other Amy. We are three soul friends who love to talk about the Dead Files TV show, along with other spooky and spooky adjacent things. We are just starting our third year, and it's going to be the best one yet.
Hi, everyone. I'm Megan, our resident scaredy cat. I love this stuff, but it absolutely terrifies me.
It doesn't terrify me.
Me neither.
Most of the time. Hey, everyone. I'm the other Amy, sometimes referred to as Amy, ABP, or AP. And I'm the voice of reason in the chaos, trying to keep these two spooky, goofy, lovely ladies in line. We're creating a community of like-minded friends who love to discuss all things paranormal.
Along with our thoughts and tangents, you will also hear listener stories and interviews with paranormal professionals, Dead Files clients, and people with personal paranormal experiences.
So far, we've spoken to
a witch,
an intuitive,
a shaman,
a UFO abductee,
and a handful of Dead Files clients.
We're always looking for more cool and interesting people to talk to. So if you're interested, please reach out to theactivitycontinues@gmail.com or fill out the guest intake form on our website, theactivitycontinues.com. We'd love to hear from you. Come join us where
The activity continues.
And welcome back to Volstead Land. We are your hosts, Amy, that's me, and Heather.
And I'm Heather. Hi, everyone.
Okay, so we are here with our friend, Amarina, who...
Welcome.
Yes, welcome. Welcome to Volstead Land. We had a little brunch and some mimosas and screwdrivers and... Well, it sounds like we had
coffee.
A lot. Coffee. Yeah, so... when I was releasing the episode about Marilyn Tollefson, I had asked Amarina if she wanted to do artwork for it. And in order for her to come up with some artwork, I had to tell her what it was about. And I told her it was about the woman who basically took down Kid Can via the Mann Act. And she said, oh, I know all about the Mann Act. So...
Yeah, you had explained, you know, basically taking, you know, this woman across, you know, state lines. I'm like, oh, yeah, the Mann Act. And like, oh, yeah, that's what they, you know, tried to stick Chaplin with, too.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't know any of that. So I said, hey, you want to come on and talk about it? So and she agreed. So here we are. Oh, and she did do the artwork for that episode, by the way, and it's awesome.
Thank you. It's amazing.
I love it. Yeah. So tell us about maybe Chaplin. Start with that.
So this was... almost 30 years ago, but I took a course in college. It was a seminar course, and it was kind of more of a freshman studies English thing. But they offered, you know, several artists, and the one that I picked was Charlie Chaplin. And so and it was basically a semester of learning about the life and work of Charlie Chaplin. And he was such a fascinating character because you could really split it into, you know, kind of you could do all this study about his work and how influential he was, not only comedy, but cinema and all of that. But then there was like kind of this other part, which is equally as fascinating. You can go equally as much into, and basically it was his personal life. And I mean, this was really kind of the start of the paparazzi and the gossip machine and who do you piss off as far as, you know, that we're seeing, you know, we're seeing to this day.
So what year would that have been?
So as far as them trying to stick him with the Mann Act, I want to say that would have been about 41 or 42. And kind of in preparation to speak with you two today, I actually went back and watched Chaplin, the movie, the Richard Attenborough movie, which is based off of Chaplin's book, My Autobiography, which in the seminar course that I took, that was our text too, was My Autobiography. And yeah, I was saying that, you know, I don't know if really the movie holds up. You know, the acting is great. It's a great story.
That's Robert Downey Jr.
It is Robert Downey Jr. James Woods is in it.
Oh.
actually, it plays the lawyer that I think. So in the, not to get too ahead of myself, but to answer your question, Heather, it was, yeah, it was like 1941, 42. And he had taken up with a woman who may or may not have been mentally had issues. And there was a paternity suit, and she was trying to get money from him. And the feds were basically had wanted him for a long time because I really think, just being older and kind of looking at the story again, I really think they were after him because he wasn't paying taxes.
Oh,
he wasn't a U.S. citizen, wasn't paying taxes.
He wasn't a U.S. citizen?
He never became a U.S. citizen.
Where was he from?
He was from England. And he came over here in probably 1910-ish. I started out in vaudeville and then came over here and then hooked up with Max Sennett and D.W. Griffith and basically the beginning of the film industry. Him and Mary Pickford and Doug Fairbanks broke off and formed their own studio, United Artists. The problem with Chaplin is he liked 16-year-olds. He liked 16-year-olds when he was 20, when he was 30. When he was 40. And ultimately, he married Una O'Neill when he was 54. I think she was like 17.
I didn't know she was that much younger.
They stayed together for like until his death in the 70s, and they had like 8 kids.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my.
But his first wife was 16, Mildred Harris. And the thing is when you watch this movie, Chaplin, and it is based off of the book, My Autobiography, and you're kind of wondering, are they making some of this up? And I do think they kind of embellish a lot of it because in My Autobiography, Chaplin really doesn't talk about any of this. Mm. And in fact, at one point in the film, Anthony Hopkins plays his biographer, but his second marriage to Lita Gray, he says in the movie, well, you only devote 3 pages in your book about her. And I believe Chaplin, Robert Downey Jr. says, well, it's because she was a bitch. Well, so he married Mildred Harris. I don't think that lasted very long, like a year. And then when he was filming The Gold Rush, one of the extras was, her name was Lita Gray, or Lolita, I believe is what they called her in the Hollywood Babylon book. But yeah, she was like 16, 17, and well,
just his age.
Yeah. He accidentally knocked her up. Ugh. And so they got married, and she ended up having 2 kids with him, but their divorce was huge as far as like how sensational it was. Like they were selling the divorce proceedings like on the street corner for like a quarter because, I mean, I guess comparatively speaking, you know, think of like, you know, Kim and Kanye right now. Mm-hmm. Or Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. I mean, the stuff that was going on, like, in their marriage was so salacious. Like, and by today's standards, it's probably pretty, like, you know, threesomes or, you know, oral sex or something like that. But, so it was huge, this divorce. So then he married a third time. Paulette Goddard was her name. And I think when you and I were talking, Amy, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's what they try to stick Chaplin for. Actually, I think that was his wife. No, it wasn't his wife. So his third wife, she was actually more age appropriate. And it sounds like they had a really kind of a good professional. And
she was an actress too, wasn't she?
She was.
I know her name. Yeah.
Played by, shoot, I can't remember who played her in the movie. But I think, you know, they ended up getting divorced. It ended up amicably. So then he met this other woman. And of course, now I can't think of her name. And of course, you know, him controlling the narrative probably in the movie that, yeah, totally, she totally sounds like she's Looney Tunes. And it does sound like that she had some issues, but it sounds like the feds got a hold of her, that here's a willing which very, very similar in the case with, mm-hmm. with Kid Can's mm-hmm. friend, that let's use her for her own means. And yeah. and again, to backtrack to what I was saying, I think it was really because he wasn't paying taxes, but it was part of the Red Scare. Mm-hmm. And they kind of insinuated in the movie that, you know, he pissed Hoover off because he made a film that was making fun of the immigration folks. Mm. You know, and then there was, you know, the whole, you know, when he made The Great Dictator, I mean, he was expressing a very unpopular opinion at the time. I mean, we were still pretty pro-Nazi in 1932 when he made this movie. So it's whether or not, you know, it was McCarthyism, Hoover was after him, wasn't paying taxes. So, yeah, so they tried to stick him with this Mann Act of, you know, basically transporting a woman across state lines, which like a lot of these laws, it has nothing to do with, you know, protecting women. I mean, really, mm-hmm. the Mann Act mm-hmm. was about, you know, they didn't want, you know, black men hooking up with white women. So and so that law really wasn't used very often except for interracial couples. So when they're pulling it out for big things like Chaplin or Kid Can or, you know, it was really, it's like they're trying to throw things at the wall to see it'll stick.
It's a smoke screen for something.
Yeah, they're trying to get it to stick. And what ultimately happened with Chaplin is he had left. He still never became a citizen, left for Switzerland, and they wouldn't let him back in.
Oh.
And so he basically was exiled in Switzerland for the rest of his life. And then in the movie, kind of how the movie opens and closes is they give him a lifetime Oscar award in, like, 1972, I think. Okay. And so it shows that. But.
Interesting. I mean, Switzerland's not a bad place to, you know,
retire,
live in exile. There's also another a book that I read a long time ago, and it was by his kid, Michael Chaplin. One of his kids with Una O'Neill, called "I Couldn't Smoke the Grass on My Father's Lawn," and it's about, you know, growing up being, you know, a drugged out hippie with Charlie Chaplin as your father in Switzerland.
Oh my god!
Wow!
Oh, fun. Interesting. And that's a lot of stuff I didn't know about him, I guess.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know, like I said, there's this whole, I like to keep it separate because this whole paparazzi machine, I mean, you read other stories about Hollywood. Like there's the book that Scotty Bowers had a couple years ago. Then they made the documentary about it has all these salacious things that were going on
at the gas station.
But no one ever really talked about it. It seemed to really only come out in paparazzi, like if you pissed off Hearst or, you know, you really had to anger somebody. I mean, Hearst had his own gossip machine with, you know, Hedda Hopper. And then there was Luella Parsons. And so, really, he was part of that whole Hollywood gossip in its heyday, and you know, and it some of it really wasn't tame by today's standards, but a lot of it kind of was.
Well, especially people that had a reputation for being sweet and kind and whatever, and if those people did anything that was not fitting of their persona that they had portrayed, then that gets dug up. And
but yeah, no, Chaplin definitely would have been Me Too'd the hell out of there at some point.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah,
he was also hung like a horse. That was the rumor that went around Hollywood.
Oh.
Yeah, he was only like 5 foot four, but
makes sense.
Yeah,
interesting.
He was a good looking dude. Oh, he took all the paint off and
Was he? Oh, I have to see a picture. I think I have seen a picture, but I don't recall anymore what he looked like.
But, you know, we're all too old,
Well, for him. For Chaplin.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, funny. So is there anybody else that you know of that had this act, whatever, was, I can't think of the word, charged with?
Nothing like quite as notorious as that. Again, my understanding is it really was just like pretty much a lot of, you know, law enforcement in history, it has, you know, racist origins in enforcement.
Yep.
You know, I was kind of thinking about it this morning too, and I could see them, you know, having that in their back pocket as something to use, say, you know, oh, you took your girlfriend across state lines to go get an abortion. There are states that are starting to talk about legislating going across state lines for having a medical procedure, not just abortions, but, you know, gender affirming or, you know, but we're going to, I don't know if you want to go down this, but.
It sounds like in Charlie Chaplin's story, the woman was not a victim. She was a willing participant. Although you said she maybe had mental issues and maybe was a vulnerable adult or something. And
I don't know. I wouldn't know if I would go so far as to say not vulnerable so much as in consent per se, but naive. You know what I don't want? It's the crazy ex-girlfriend trope is they hooked up and, you know, she kind of stalked him and then said that she was, you know, that she was pregnant and he was his kid. And, you know, I think the feds were just looking for something to stick him with.
Because, with the Kid Can story, Marilyn was not a victim. She was, went along with it. You know, she loved having sex.
And she was paid.
Yes, and she was paid very well.
Right.
And it was only when she wanted to keep getting paid and they were done with her that she got mad and turned him in. You know, so, they make it sound like she was this poor girl that he corrupted or whatever. I mean, she was younger when they met. She was 19 and he was 50.
And I think that's kind of what they were trying to make, you know, this poor, vulnerable woman that, you know. Mm-hmm. But again, I think about, too, even just stories about, you know, like Lindsay Lohan. And now we find out. Well, no, she actually was having some problems and everyone just kind of shit on her.
Yeah.
Where, who knows? Because who was controlling the narrative? You've got the federal prosecutors saying that she was this poor woman that he took advantage of. Mm-hmm. You know, he's saying in his narrative that she was, you know, don't stick your dick in crazy. And there's somewhere in the middle is, you know, so I think the feds probably really took advantage of this woman. We used her was she a willing pawn?
Mm-hmm. Can we title this episode Don't Stick Your Dick in Crazy?
Oh, I can do the artwork.
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely. You need to do the artwork for this one. Oh, God, I can see it already. That's awesome. Okay. Thank you for listening. The Activity Continues. We'll be back after this short break. Hi, all. I'm sure you have heard our ads for Wantable in the past few months. Both Amy P. and Megan have told you what they like about it, but now it's my turn. A friend and I were talking about Wantable the other day, and she said, "It sounds interesting, but I'm so picky about clothes because I hate the styles I'm seeing lately." I told her that I felt that Wantable was made specifically for those who feel like this. First of all, you tell them exactly what you like. You can look at all these pictures on their website and go, I like this, I don't like that, never send me animal prints. And they actually have a real person picking out the clothes based on your preferences. They send all the items to you, and if you don't like any of it, you just put it back in the bag and send it back. I do suggest trying everything on, even if you don't think you'll like it, because I have found many items where I was like, ew, when I pulled it out of the bag, but once I tried it on, I loved it. So I don't recommend rejecting things right away. I also recommend taking some photos or videos of yourself, trying them on, and then a day later go back, rewatch, and then try things on again. You may change your mind. I have. But if you do send it all back, they'll just send you another bag of items to try. When you send something back, they give you an opportunity to say why you didn't like it, and I highly recommend you take the time to tell them. So, like my first bag, they sent me stuff that made me look like I'm going on a cruise ship for senior citizens, and I told them that. So I also recommend being really specific in your comments. Don't be afraid to say, I don't like the cut of this. This one made my boobs look too big, etc. My last reason for loving this way of shopping is that I don't like going to the store and trying on things. Almost nothing looks good on me that way. But I like to do it at home, and then I can mix and match with things that I already own. I can say, oh, I love this scarf, and it matches that dress I have, so I'm going to keep that. Now, Wantable isn't cheap, so think of it as a special treat for yourself. My co-host AP does this. Every once in a while, she'll get a box just to celebrate a win or something. So I wouldn't do it every month, but it's fun to get a giant bag of clothes and pull them all out and be like, that's ugly, that's cute. And if you use our promo code, TheActivityContinues, you get $25 off whatever items you keep. So jump on this if you're ready to buy your new favorite clothing. Happy shopping. And don't forget, use the promo code TheActivityContinues for $25 off your first order. So is there anything else we need to go over, or we could go over, or shoot the shit about something else?
I would say another good movie is called The Cat's Meow. And it involves Chaplin and William Randolph Hearst and Marion Davies and Gloria Swanson. And it is a retelling of real life story of the murder of William Ince.
Ooh,
and who did it. And it came out, it was from 2002 or three. And Eddie Izzard plays Charlie Chaplin.
Oh, Eddie Izzard.
And it's quite good, but it's based on a true story.
Oh. And it's called The Cat's Meow.
The Cat's Meow.
And when did that come out? About?
I want to say 2002, 2003.
Okay, cool.
And then again, there's Charlie Chaplin, my autobiography, and then the movie Chaplin, which that was based off of. And then the book that I was actually trying to find this weekend, and I couldn't find it, which is weird because I don't throw anything out. But
you
it was,
and my mom.
Yeah. Well, especially books. I really don't purge books.
Yeah, I don't either.
But it was, I want to say the book was called something like, you know, The United States versus Charlie Chaplin. And it was basically, his whole career was Hoover and McCarthy trying to go after him. I still think it's because of taxes, because it's usually always about the money, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and sometimes taxes, going after someone for taxes is how they get them for doing something else they couldn't get them for.
Exactly.
Like the bootleggers and stuff were almost always going down for taxes. And part of the reason that they wanted to get Kid Can for something was because then that would allow the FBI to get a hold of his financial records. And that was, then they could get him for that too.
Well, you know, like, you know, Miss Scarlet said in Clue, you know, communism is just a red herring. I think a lot of, you know, the whole Red Scare and blackballing Hollywood, I think was all about just money.
I looked it up. The Cat's Meow was 2001, and it is available to stream for free on Tubi and IMDb TV.
Cool. Oh, good.
Or to purchase for $3.99 on Apple TV. Oh, and it's got Kirsten Dunst in it.
Yes, she plays Marion Davies. Now, Marion Davies was Hearst's longtime girlfriend. She was not a very good actor. However, she had a long line of credits because of Hearst put her in everything. And so she was also having an affair with Chaplin. Well, Chaplin was sleeping around with everybody.
Well, it sounds like he couldn't keep it in his pants.
Yes, it's... it's old school Hollywood gossip. It's so
I love that stuff.
Much fun.
I love that stuff. Yeah, like that Scotty Bowers. I just came across that the film. I haven't
seen
that
the documentary
yet.
A couple years ago.
Oh, okay.
And then I guess too, as far as like references, now there's been much argument about the validity, and I would take everything you read in it with a grain of salt. But Kenneth Anger's Hollywood Babylon, there's two volumes, is just fun. Mm-hmm. Just fun, stupid, you know, National Enquirer read.
I think my dad had that book. Mm-hmm.
Do you follow the Hollywood Babylon Facebook page?
I do.
There's just a lot of people posting old Hollywood stuff.
I do too, but I haven't seen anything in
a while. Well, you know, talking about, you know, gossip and Hollywood gossip, and I've always just been all over it, you know, and, you know, with the advent with the internet and gossip blogs. And I really don't follow much of that anymore because I don't know if you guys have noticed, but those comment sections gotten like it's all cute critter stuff. It's really weird.
I try not to.
I have noticed that, especially on Crazy Days and Nights.
Yeah.
It's gotten. Yeah, I don't even go
but
to
like,
that
even
anymore.
But like even like D-listed sometimes in the comments, I see total cute stuff.
And really?
It's like, yeah.
It's so weird. Yeah. Oh, they'll get in anywhere where they think there's a lot of people.
But I just, you know, I just think it's funny talking about, you know, like this Hollywood cabal of eating babies in the basements of Pizza Huts. But then you just hear about the stories that happened in old Hollywood and it's like, yeah, it was Sodom and Gomorrah back then too. I don't know about baby eating, but yeah. So I think that's, I'm trying to think if there's any other sort of like reference that would be fun to. Yeah.
I'm going to check out some Chaplin.
Cool. Yeah. I should probably watch the movie Chaplin. I've never seen it. And
that's available on HBO.
Okay, good. We have HBO. Yeah, and I love Robert Downey
and,
Jr.
And, you know, check out his work. I mean, Great Dictator, especially right now, it's a good watch.
Okay. I haven't seen that either.
And another law that was Coogan's law was for Jackie Coogan, who starred with Charlie Chaplin in The Kid.
Oh. And what was that law about?
His parents took his money.
Oh, okay.
His parents took all his money. And so Coogan's law was named for Jackie Coogan, the child actor from 1921, The Kid. Yeah, that a certain amount of money has to be put in a trust. But Jackie Coogan went on to play Uncle Fester on The Addams Family.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I had no idea that was him.
Huh. And that's still obviously there are child actors benefiting from that to this day.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Coogan's Law is very still a thing. And I know Paul
Peters.
He was a child actor from the Donna Reed Show, but he was always like huge child star advocate. And I really know about that stuff because of Nick at Night.
Oh, that old stuff is so fun. Have you guys heard the podcast? You Must Remember This.
Yes.
She covers a lot of really good stuff, really interesting stories, especially the old, like, Thelma Todd, you know, how did she really die and all that stuff. Anything that has, like, a true crime bent to it is always fun for me anyway.
Well, yeah, there was it Jean Harlow's husband that, yeah, there's crazy stories. And because, and now that there really isn't anyone around to tell the tale anymore, which is, I guess was why Scotty Bowers had put his book out, is like, well, they're all dead now, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he passed away too recently.
I think he did fairly recently. Yeah. I think so.
But yeah, no, that is such a great read.
That book was a wild ride, man. I lent it to everybody I knew.
Just thought how much he loved his work. Yeah. He loved it. Like he took genuine joy in hooking people up.
Yep. You know, doing the Lord's work.
Right? Because back then, with you know, especially back then, you still had the moral codes. Mm-hmm. You know, God forbid, you know, you were seen with a woman, let alone, man. Yeah, it's just, you know, so keeping it all in the dome. Yeah.
All right. Anything else we should cover?
I think we're good. All this right. was very interesting. Thank you, Amarina.
Yes, thank you.
Well, thank you.
I've got some movies to watch.
Yeah, we've got a list
books
of things
to read.
Cool.
Right. Oh, thank you.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Volstead Land. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode, and visit us on all of our social media platforms for extra content. Volstead Land is produced by me, Amy, at Collected Sounds Media, and is part of the Collected Sounds Podcast Network. Okie doke.